This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly English Championship Show on the BetRivers Network. I am your host, George Ellick, and as I am before most weekends, and this time on a Monday, ahead of the midweek action in the English Football League, I am joined by the man, the myth, and the legend, Jack Wright. Jack, very good to see you. How are you getting on?
Great to see you too, George. It's been such a long while, and we've managed to bridge the gap between the end of one week and the next. So we've got a midweek special, which is great news.
Yeah,
I'm good, though.
Good. I'm glad you're good. It is good that we have midweek football. Plenty of football going on this midweek. Viewers of all the football shows on the BetRivers Network are going to be sick of the sight of you, aren't they? Because they've got you for the Championship show, the Champions League show, and the Europa League show. So, you have to...
Well, hopefully they won't be, but you never know. Yeah, there's a chance of that. There is. Yeah,
we'll see.
Hopefully I'll just find them some winners to make up for it.
Fingers crossed. I said last week that I would have our P&L ready for the listeners and the viewers, and I do. The good news is that we are... We're ranked second in all the BetRivers football shows. We have a P&L at the moment of +3.29, I should say. I think that includes our stakes being taken off for the futures bets as well. Only Ligue 1 with +7.65 for the French top tier. That's a hell of an effort there. Are doing better than us. So let's keep that going.
I was speaking to Steve from the Ligue 1 show yesterday. I'll now cease communications until we go above them.
Too right.
In the league. Yeah. Can't be doing that kind of
stuff.
But no, well done to them. Doing really well.
So, you know, you need to make sure that you don't inspire him with your winning.
Indeed.
We had an all right week on the weekend. You had a couple of winners. BTTS landed in West Brom at Swansea at -125. Over 1.5 Luton goals, a winner as well at Hull. Yep.
Always and what a goal to win it.
Friday night winner. Exactly. Yeah. Henry Lansbury with a really sweet strike, kissing off the turf, going into the bottom right-hand corner. Over 2.5 was a loser at Wickham Plymouth, although that was a game of loads of chances. So you're unlucky there.
Yeah. One of those, wasn't it? You can't put it in the net for them.
Exactly. And then Sheffield United and Birmingham drew. I had a couple of winners as well, over 2.5, and BTTS finally copped for me in a Bristol City game. And of course, it was that man, Nicky Wells, who got the all-important goal to make it 2-1. Stevenage also did beat Crawley with a late penalty, winning 2-1. Jack Clark did not score, but back to the well we go, although not Nicky Wells. I'll be doing another goal scorer bet later on. And Burnley just can't keep seeing Burnley squandering leads. It's the fourth time they've done it already this season. A team who are very, very good when it's 0-0. And once they get ahead, seem to struggle to get the one important second goal. Frustration.
Definitely. Yeah, seeing some kind of mental block there from the minute. You're right in what you say. You know, I'll come on to it in a bit actually about Burnley and their throwing leads away. But say it's that variance. It's just not quite clicking at the moment. But a small amount of profit's always better than anything else. So.
Too right. And that's what we're doing in profit. And we're going to get into our picks now. As ever, 3 bets each from the Championship. And then between us, we'll have 1 from League 1 and 1 from League 2 as well, as we preview the games on both Tuesday and Wednesday night. So we'll try and start with the Tuesday stuff, if I can remember who is playing when. Before we do get into it, do get on the BetRivers Network. You can check out all the shows there, but also follow the Twitter account at Because We Win, where you can follow all the different sports handicappers and their selections and all the different shows up there as well.
Jack, 28-1 winner in the tennis this weekend. So
there you go. Was the golf, Sepp Straka was put up in the golf, wasn't he? You lost in the playoff?
He was, yeah, lost in the playoff 50-1. So, you know, what can you say? That, and it was fantastic from the other guy whose name I've suddenly forgotten, but up and down from the bunker on the edge of the green to ruin that party. But there we go. We can't win them all. It gets boring, apparently.
Exactly. Time for our picks now then, starting in the Championship. Jack, where are you going first on Tuesday night?
Yeah, well, we mentioned them already, Luton. So I'm going back to them. I think they're home to Huddersfield. And I was a bit surprised by the price. We can get them on a -0.5 goal handicap, which basically means they just need to beat Huddersfield. at minus 122. So very strong. Third successive win they're looking for here. They've won four of their last seven as well. So they're in great form. And these two sides obviously met in last season's playoff semi-finals, in which Huddersfield came out on top before then obviously going on to lose in the final to Nottingham Forest. But kind of gone in separate directions since then, albeit Luton did get off to a sluggish start to the season, as we well know, but certainly not as bad as what Huddersfield have done. They've now picked themselves up. So briefly got back into the playoffs after that win on Friday night, but with the results elsewhere, sitting just outside, looking on the outside, looking in, but we'll obviously be gunning for a win here to say keep the pressure on and hopefully say get up into those playoffs. As far as Huddersfield are concerned, obviously it's massive change since those heady days of Wembley just a short few months ago. We'll obviously know that Carlos Corberan's since departed. Also, Harry Toflo's gone as well. And some key players, Lewis O'Brien being another, that they're sadly missing and are showing. Down in the depths, second from bottom in the league, only kept off the bottom by Coventry. And that's mainly because Coventry's lots of games in hand due to their inability to play at home. So obviously they brought in Mark Fotheringham as the new manager. Kind of, he was a rude awakening, I suppose, at the weekend. 3-1 defeat at Reading. They were two down by half time. Got a consolation late in the game, but I think if his eyes weren't open as to the task in hand here at Huddersfield, they certainly are now. And as I say, we saw Luton do the job on Hull on Friday night. So very, very comfortable, really. 2-0 up by half time and then kind of cruise through that. So an extra day's rest as well. I'm taking them to get the job done. Huddersfield lost all four away so far. They've kept one clean sheet all season. They've conceded two plus in all of those away games as well. And although Luton have only won one at home, that was the last time out. Quite a nice win. Home to Blackburn. So I'm expecting them to keep that momentum going and pick up all 3 points here.
Lovely stuff. The first selection there. Getting against a team really struggling there in Huddersfield. My first pick is basically laying Sheffield United at home to QPR. So QPR on the Asian handicap, plus a half, so plus 0.5 is plus 115 with Bet Rivers. A few reasons for this. You know, Sheffield United are favourites to win the league, and I'm not going to argue with that for a second. I think they've been very impressive in what they've done so far this season in the Championship. They look very solid indeed, and their home form over the last couple of seasons has been very good. But they did draw 1-1 at home to Birmingham on Saturday, which I know you put them up on the Asian handicap for. And I'm afraid to say it, because normally I'd like to lie and say it was fortunate from Birmingham, but Birmingham were good value for their point. They were decent on the day. They were pretty solid at the back. Tahit Chong, I think, makes a big difference to Birmingham in terms of going forward. Troy Deeney with a very rare goal these days, getting them a very valuable point. That was the fifth game that Sheffield United have played at home this season. And it's the first game they haven't won. So that just goes to show just how good they've been. But I think there's fair reason here to side with QPR, who I think under Mick Beale are proving themselves quite quickly to be one of the dark horses in the Championship. They have so many technically gifted players. You know, Ilias Chair, Chris Willock and Tyler Roberts are being preferred as a front three at the moment, ahead of Lyndon Dykes. Dykes, kind of your archetypal target man striker, but Beale is deciding to go with the young, talented, technically gifted players. And it means that they're a good watch. They're pretty good going forward. Looking at their away form so far this season, they've already won three games on the road, and those games came against sides who've been okay and are generally pretty good at home. You know, they beat Bristol City 2-1 in the game we just spoke about on Saturday, but they also went to Millwall and won that 2-0, and they beat Watford 3-2 at Vicarage Road as well. So they're beating decent teams away from home. The blots on the copybook are a 1-0 defeat at Blackburn, which came on opening day of the season, Mick Beale's first ever game in charge, and then a 1-0 loss at Swansea as well. So the two games they haven't at least picked up a point in, they've only lost by a solitary goal. They're also a fair way ago, and I think we're seeing QPR beginning to improve. And you know, looking at the, you know, the data side of things, looking at the games that they have won, they've been very good value for it as well. You know, they frankly battered Bristol City on Saturday and could have won it by far, far more than the one goal margin. So I'm not sure the market is necessarily woken up to the fact that QPR are generally very good or genuinely very good at this time. I think Beale is an exciting manager with a lot more to come. So off the back of a slightly disappointing result for Sheffield United, it's maybe just a bit of a chink in their armor, and I'm hoping to exploit that by siding with either a draw or a QPR win at kind of odds against it, plus 115. So that's my first pick. Where next?
Good stuff. Yeah, Sunderland versus Blackpool for me next. Again, another game on Tuesday, and I wasn't quite sure how to play this one. I did watch Blackpool at the weekend, and that kind of swung it for me in the end. I had already kind of earmarked Sunderland as a possible win in this game, and they're nice odds, and I wouldn't put anyone off that, to be fair. But what I am going for is Sunderland to score over 1.5 goals instead. They did draw a blank at the weekend, but that was against Preston, and that's the sixth game that's ended 0-0 for Preston this season. So we all know what they're about. Still continuing to defy logic, but there we go. We'll roll with that. So Tony Mowbray was quite bullish after the game and saying that he had no real problem. There's nothing to worry about. They create enough chances. And I think, as always, if you're not creating chances, is the time to worry. And they certainly were. They've got a lot of exciting talent. They scored 5 in their 2 previous games. And I think that's enough for him to, kind of just dismiss that game against Preston and then move on to the next. 16 points from 11 games so far. So got off to a really solid start. And they've had a lot of upheaval to contend with, obviously, in that period of time as well. Alex Neil going, we all know about. And there was that concern how they would then carry on from there. But it's been business as usual. Tony Mowbray, we've said before, a safe pair of hands at this level. It's kept a kind of nice calm and influence, I think, on that side. You know, they lost Ross Stewart for injury, which was a big blow. And again, you go, well, how are they going to cope with that? Well, they've got Ellis Sims in there. Then he was injured. And you go, well, yeah. And we've talked about it before, Jack Clark. And Pritchard, Alex Pritchard, and the other players around there, that they've come to the party and they're finding a way to play and create chances and up until the weekend score goals as well. So really impressive on that side of it. And as I said, I saw Blackpool at the weekend, and again, I think they were slightly unfortunate not to have got something out of the game or certainly have scored. But what was quite alarming or apparent was the fact that they were conceding a lot of chances. So Norwich at the bar and the post, there's some good saves as well. I think we had 8 shots on target at the weekend, fired in 23 shots. So there was lots and lots of chances. And what the thing was really that kind of caught to me was that Blackpool were kind of dithering on the ball. They were a bit slow and ponderous, and that's where a few of those chances come from. And I thought with, as you've mentioned previously, when we talked about Jack Clark, Alex Pritchard, those types of players, is they're sort of low center of gravity, busy players that are going to hustle and bustle and cause problems. And if Blackpool do the similar sort of thing that they did at the weekend, they're going to be in big trouble, and Sunderland are going to take advantage of that. And I can see Sunderland scoring 2 or 3 goals, as they have done prior to that game at the weekend. But the one concern is why I went with Blackpool, to concede goals rather than to get beat, is the fact that they have shown away from home, and QPR was one of those games where they beat QPR away. And then Burnley, which we mentioned at the top of the show, that Burnley kind of conceding goals, went in front, obviously went 2 up and then 3-1 up and ended up with a 3-3 draw. So Blackpool have certainly got it in them, and they did create quite a few chances against Norwich at the weekend. So that kind of led me down to the path, as I said, of going for goals rather than for the for the Sunderland win. And also they have shipped 5 goals in the last 2 away games, and those away games were at Millwall and at Rotherham. Not the most prolific of sides that you think are going to cut through teams. So I think with the Sunderland side, who are very dynamic in forward areas, I'm happy with the bet for Sunderland goals rather than the win. So yeah, Sunderland over 1.5 goals is the bet.
From an overs to an unders, I'm looking at Cardiff against Blackburn at Cardiff on Tuesday night, and I'm going for under 2 goals on the Asian line. So that means if there are no goals or 1 goal, then we cop a winner. If there are 2 goals exactly, then we get our money back. And if there are over 2 goals, then it is sadly a loser. But let's hope that doesn't happen. And getting plus 125 for this, I mean, the goal line is low. I normally bet on the over and under 2.5 goal line rather than the Asian. But it is low here, and under 2.5 is short. And I think with this, I'll be pretty happy to take the plus 125 with the insurance of money back if it is 2 goals. Because Cardiff, as we know, are a team who have been very resolute defensively, especially at home this season. Yes, Mark Hudson came in and has got off to a very good start, frustratingly for me, with a with a draw against Burnley that we saw last week, last weekend on Saturday. In that game, though, it was more of the same. You know, the expected goals value on the games were very low. It was 0.64 for Cardiff and 0.88 for Burnley, which is basically just more of the same. Cardiff being a side who looked to frustrate, who looked to stop teams from scoring and getting into advanced positions at the own detriment of their attacking play as well. And looking at their five games so far in the Championship at home, they beat Norwich 1-0. They beat Birmingham 1-0. They beat Preston. Sorry, they drew with Preston 0-0. And then, of course, the Burnley won all game and the Luton defeat 2-1, which means that three of their five games so far at home have copped under two. One of them was a push, which was on Saturday, which came within 2 minutes of being a winner, and then one loser. So I think the plus 125 is a good price there. And I really like the opposition as well in Blackburn, because Blackburn, yes, they themselves have had fairly high scoring games so far this season, but they've drawn a blank three times on the road, losing 3-0 to Sheffield United, 3-0 to Reading and 2-0 to Luton. They are massively overperforming their expected goals in terms of going forward as well. I think the time has got to come fairly soon where if they don't create better and more chances, they're going to start to struggle to actually score the goals necessary. So I can see this being a very low scoring affair. I'm probably going to have a bit on the 0-0 as well, I'd have thought. But in terms of the tip here, looking for under two goals on the Asian line, as I say, at plus money at plus 125. It's my goal scorer next up, which comes on Wednesday. Where are you off to?
I'm going Wednesday as well. I'm going for Watford versus Swansea for my Wednesday game. And I'm going with goals, over 2.5 goals. So I'm feeling in a cheery mood this week. It's all about goals. Over 2.5 priced up at minus 103 here. And obviously, new manager for Watford, couldn't got off for a better start. He said that himself. I watched the game yesterday at Stoke, a 4-0 win. How much of it was Watford being fantastic and how much of it was Stoke being truly dreadful? It's up for debate. Looked like Alex Neil was going to combust on several occasions from very early on yesterday, all through that game. He wasn't happy. But look, let's focus on Watford because that's the game we're talking about here. That front line, you just look at it and you go, wow, that's got to give you a massive chance in this league. Keenan Davis up front, that figurehead, lots of endeavour. We saw him at Nottingham Forest last season, what he brought to the table there. And then again, yesterday showed exactly what he's all about. And behind him yesterday was Sema and Sarr out wide. Obviously, we've well-documented Sarr and his abilities at the moment, but also Espria in behind there, who, as a teenager, looks some talent and is one I always enjoy watching over the last few games that I've seen him. And obviously, you know, you're looking at there's a loser came off the bench, so not in that starting lineup. And obviously, João Pedro's out injured at the moment. So they've got lots and lots of exciting talent, goal-scoring talent in those forward areas, and absolutely showcased that yesterday. And so it finally kind of came off. And so I don't think really that Bilic is going to have much time to sort of change too much about that. And realistically, why would you? You kept a clean sheet and you scored four goals away from home. So more of the same, please. Obviously, the Watford fans were rightly upset about what happened, but obviously they're also on the other side of it. I think they'll take into account that Bilic is a great manager to have at the club. Been here and done it before. So expect to see them get behind him, especially on the back of that result. And obviously their first home game in charge, especially if they get off to a good start, especially if they show that that's not going to be a flash in the pan. That's possibly more what they're to expect from them. As far as Swansea, the visitors are concerned, they've now strung a couple of nice results together, back-to-back wins for them, scoring three in both games as well. So a really good win at West Brom, more pressure on Steve Bruce at West Brom, of course, hanging on in there. He's one of the few that we've said that at time of recording anyway, assuming. So yeah. Who knows with the Championship of managers at the minute, he could be back to take his seat in the dugout and he'll be gone. But Yeah, great result for Swansea. They obviously they were trailing, looked like they were going to lose the game, conceding a late penalty, obviously survived that and then went up the other end and got the winner. So lots to like about what they're doing at the moment. Both their strikers are amongst the goals, which is a good thing. We all know that they can play some nice football. It seems to have added a bit more cutting edge to that over the last couple of weeks, which is fantastic news. I'm going for over 2.5 goals because I just think there's a lot of talent on the pitch, a lot of forward thinking players on the pitch, and they'll make the most of that. A couple of interesting stats. So I know you like your stats, George. Are these for you, really? 4 of the last 5 head-to-heads have ended 2-1, so that'd be nice for this one. There's been 12 goals in Watford's last 3 at home, which is huge. And also, no 0-0 at Vicarage Road in the last 62 championship games.
Wow.
Let's hope that continues as I go for over 2.5 goals here.
Superb. There you have it. Over 2.5 goals there. The one for you in your final game. On your chat there about managers, I've just seen an unbelievable tweet from someone called John Driscoll, who says Michael Beale should be calling him Mick, to be honest.
Bad mark straight away. I learned that about show one here.
Yeah. Mick Beale, I'm going to say, got the QPR job in June. He's now the 11th longest serving manager in the championship.
Wow.
That's
crazy.
Unbelievable. Incredible stuff. Right. Wow. I'm going to now look at the final game here, which is a goal scorer. Yeah, exactly. And I'm looking at Millwall, who are going to Rotherham. Now, Millwall have had a pretty weird start to the season so far. If you look at their start, they have beaten 4 teams. They've beaten Stoke, who are 17th, Cardiff, who are 18th, Blackpool, who are 19th, and Coventry, who are 24th. Every single team, and then they drew with Swansea, who are 11th. Their other 6 games have come against the top 6, and they've lost them all, scoring just 1 goal. So we are seeing here a team in Millwall who Gary Rowett is very capable of setting them up to beat the worst teams in the division, but cannot find a way to even lay a glove on the better teams in the league. They play Rotherham on Wednesday night, which in itself, you know, they don't fit the category of being one of the worst teams in the division at the moment. You know, they are currently sitting where are they? They are 12th at the moment. So bottom half team nonetheless. But of course, they've lost their manager, Paul Warne, one of those managers in the championship who's vacated his job this season. Going to Derby, and he's been replaced by Lee Peltier and Richard Wood as caretakers. It seems eminently likely, or imminent at least, that Matt Taylor, the Exeter manager, will be announced. It may have already been announced by the time this goes out. It may have already been announced in the time that it took me to make my my sandwich for lunch earlier on today. They've announced they've been granted permission to speak to him. It's a matter of time until it's announced he's moved to the club, you'd have thought. And you know, it's a good appointment for sure, but I think we saw in their defeat against Wigan on Saturday that, you know, losing not just Warne, but his influential coaching staff as well, including Richie Barker, who I think does most of the training sessions, is going to have an effect. And I fancy Millwall to be able to have a decent shot at least of being able to beat them. The player that I'm picking to get the goal is Zion Fleming. Now, Fleming was brought in the summer with a really good record in the Eredivisie. For Fortuna Sittard, he'd scored 12 goals in each of the last 2 seasons, 7 assists in 2021, 4 assists in 21-22. Now, the Eredivisie, of course, when you're kind of outside of Ajax and PSV, isn't a particularly good league. But similarly, I think double-figure goals for an attacking midfielder in the top division in Holland is pretty good form to be taking into the championship. But with Fleming, he has had a patchy start, I think it's fair to say, to life in the championship. He's looking fairly lively. You know, he's probably brought in to replace Jed Wallace. He's looking lively enough, but yet to really make his mark in terms of actually scoring goals. And that is the important thing in this as well. He was credited by some with the goal against Blackpool, but it was an own goal by Daniel Grimshaw, which means that so far his expected goals equates to 1.75 for the season, and he's yet to score. And I think that's where you want to find these goal scorer picks, where it's somebody's consistently getting into goal scoring opportunities, isn't necessarily taking them, so their price therefore isn't being affected by the goals they've scored, when actually he's getting into the positions consistently. I mean, and it was never seen more than against Blackburn in the 90th minute. He was found with a ball into the box and acrobatically volleyed it over the bar from about 4 yards out when he really should have scored. But he, as I say, he's getting into positions fairly regularly. He's already hit the woodwork twice as well for Millwall. One of those players who's just banging on the door. And in a game where I think Millwall are generally overpriced anyway, I think the plus 280, plus 280 for him to score anytime is the way to play this. I think if you basically bat that plus 280, if you were to get that every week, pretty soon it's gonna make you money, because I think it's more likely than that he's going to score a goal. So those are my three and your three there. I'll quickly run through the other games as well. So we've got Bristol City. No Bristol City pick this week.
Oh, no. Is it a championship show without a Bristol City pick? I think it is this week.
I know. Bristol City plus 102. The Coventry win is plus 220. Over 2.5 goals, for those who want to know, is minus 127. Sheffield United, I've already done. You've done Luton, Cardiff, Blackburn we've done. Reading, Norwich, plus 295, Norwich minus 114. Norwich pretty next on my list, I think, to win that one. But odds on, it does maybe look a little bit short. Rotherham, Millwall we've done as well. You've done Watford. Burnley hosts Stoke. Burnley very short. What, minus 152. Stoke plus 360. Stoke very, very poor on Sunday against Watford. Hull plus 155. Wigan plus 155. So Pick and Price is the two there. Middlesbrough having sacked Chris Wilder. Looking to appoint a new manager. They're minus 177 against Birmingham, who are plus 450. Preston hosting West Brom. Preston plus 200. West Brom plus 125. So those are the midweek games in the Championship.
Interesting one now. Obviously, Preston are the unders and the both things to score. No team of the league.
The ketchup hasn't popped.
Exactly right. Yeah, still bursting, yeah. Ready to come out. But and obviously West Brom are the opposite. They've had all bar one game, both things to score. So that one was a 0-0, wasn't it? So which way is it going to go? We'll look to see, but one that we've avoided and we'll look with interest.
Yeah, exactly. League One and League Two, there's a shriveled docket in League One and League Two this week with fewer games. It's basically just rearranged games that are taking place after international breaks or other reasons for games being cancelled.
Is that the official terminology, George? Is that from the EFL on high? A shriveled docket?
Correct.
Because I called it a skeleton fixture list, which I think shriveled docket certainly got more of a ring to it.
Thank you very much.
I'll use that going forward.
I've patented it. And we're looking at, I'm going for Cheltenham and Bolton. Bolton are plus 104 to win this one. Cheltenham come into this off the back of a 2-0 win over Shrewsbury, which is a good bit of form, but I'm pretty happy to take it on because I think Shrewsbury, when they're not at their best, are basically very easy to beat because they don't create any chances. And that was the case on Saturday against Cheltenham. I think Bolton are probably the team that I'm kind of keeping an eye out on the most at the moment in League One. A muddling start, but they've really started to kind of fly in League One. And they look to me to be the team who, you know, a lot of people are talking about how it's going to be Plymouth, Ipswich, Sheffield Wednesday and Pompey fighting it out for the top two places in League One. I'd possibly add Bolton to that list. I think they're consistently very good. They're very solid defensively. The return of Dion Charles has coincided with an upturn in fortunes maybe. And again, they've had a difficult-ish fixture list. Now, they've already played Plymouth, Ipswich and Sheffield Wednesday, the top three, taking just 1 point from those games. But the rest of their games, they've played seven and they've won six of them. So they are very, very adept at beating the weakest teams in the league. And I think they are big value to go and get a result. If you can get anything that's bigger than even money, I would very much recommend you take it. What's your League Two pick?
Very brief on this one for those that had enough of me already. It's Stevenage. Again, it's a side that we've talked about quite regularly through the course of the season already for good reason. We did mention them at being a big price at the start of the season. If Steve Evans could get a tune out of them, we felt that they were probably a good fit. And he's proved most definitely to have been that. Back up to third in the league, looking really strong. You put them forward, of course, at the weekend successfully in a win at Crawley. How would they bounce back from defeat to Bradford a couple of weeks ago? Well, really well. A win that I think I put forward at home to Harrogate, and then that win at Crawley. So very good indeed. And say looking really, really strong and super strong at home. and won all of their games so far at home in all competitions. Keep it very, very tight at the back as well. Taking on a Sutton side that we have got on side a few times this season, but have had a little bit of a wobble. They've now lost three consecutive games in all competitions, two in the league, losing at home to Salford and then away. Bad result at the weekend away at Gillingham, who have obviously been dire really this season. So a big win for the Gills and a bad defeat for Sutton. So on that basis, I just feel that Stevenage are going to have too much strength, too much power, too much about them, too much confidence, too much momentum. And yeah, going for the win there. So a straight up win at nice price again. I think Stevenage are like one of those sides, a bit like we talked about Plymouth, being still a bit undervalued as far as the bookies are concerned. I mean, you still get a nice price for a straight up win against this out of sorts Sutton side.
There you go. There you have it. Our picks ahead of a busy-ish, a bit shriveled midweek docket in the EFL. Hopefully we continue the profit that we're turning over so far this season. Do check out the Bet Rivers site. There you can find all of the different betting options you've got across football this midweek. We've got domestic football in the EFL. We've got European football on Tuesday and Wednesday in the Champions League, and then again on Thursday in the Europa League and the Europa Conference League as well. So much up there. And of course, we've got more golf and more tennis coming up this week. So do check out all of the previews up on the Bet Rivers YouTube channel. Subscribe there, comment there, leave us a review. Tell us what you think of us. Tell us what you think of Jack's new setup in his studio at home. You're looking very smart. I've got to sort myself out here. Doesn't look quite as professional, does it? But yeah, no, excellent stuff. And then we've also...
All the gear, no idea, they think they say, isn't
exactly.
It?
Although, but you can also listen to this as a podcast as well, which some people are doing, and therefore they can't see you or me.
That's a lot better.
Which is exactly much better for them. And do check out the app Because We Win Twitter feed as well, where you can find all the different sports handicappers chatting away about their picks and selections throughout the week as well. Enjoy the football. Hopefully a couple of winners. Thank you to Jack for, as ever, sharing his wisdom with us ahead of this busy midweek. And also do remember, as I should always say, to please gamble responsibly.